And welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us, same number. Evan, let's go to the phone lines quickly because I got something else. Who do we have up next?
We've got Ross from Middleton.
Hey, Ross, how you doing? For those of you who may just be joining us, I'm talking about a couple situations that occurred in the last couple of weeks where a pig heart was transplanted into a living human being. And now two kidneys, pig kidneys, have been transplanted into a person who was basically brain dead. But and these things are in hopes they've modified the genomes in the living pigs in order to be able to transplant them into human beings. What do you say? And you said, Ross, what do you say?
Hey, Earl and Evan. I think everybody listening to this probably knows that there's, or feels that it's complicated. There's so many different aspects of it. The things that it makes me feel, I mean, I'm like 62 years old, so it makes me think is that I sort of feel like in some ways the scientists are sort of obligated to talk about the science and sort of say, here's where we're at and here's what we're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. I kind of think we're still sort of in an experimental. That is they're still kind of learning as they go here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this fella is sort of a guinea pig, if you want to use the expression in some ways. You know, but he's willing because it's a last resort.
Yeah.
But I sometimes wonder if this is better to be, I mean, the ethical part might be in the realm of what I would say the churches or the religious part. That is you know, I think what it comes down to is what is the quality of life? I mean, like, you know, is it just the quantity of life? And kind of like, I think you sort of hit it on the head, Earl, when you sort of said, look, if the quality of my life, if I can't love other people and experience their love, then kind of like, why are we here? And I sometimes think that people might forget that real essential fact or aspect. And so I sometimes feel like maybe that's not the role of a scientist, and is really the role, I say, of the church. That is those people who represent the spiritual aspect of our lives, which says, what gives meaning? The other thing I was going to say is this stuff is not cheap. It's not inexpensive. This guy's 57 years old, you know, and the question sort of becomes is, who bears the cost of this? So in this case, it's kind of like, I'm sure, the scientists or the hospitals or whatever. But I sometimes think we have to ask ourselves, we have limited healthcare resources, and do we want to dump it all into older people? And Earl, I'm older too, you know, but I mean, how do we want to spend these limited resources on an individual? And I think
you have really thought this through. I applaud you from several perspectives, and you put it all together. And that's why I said earlier, what would you say if it was a young man who 25 years old and, you know, and that's the person that winds up, you know, with the pig kidneys or the pig heart. And yes, it prolongs his life, but now he chooses to have a family. You know, we don't know what the outcomes of any of those things would be. And so, listen, I don't know if we can, you know, slow down science. Science has done so many amazing and wonderful things, you know, and medicine has done so many things to prolong our lives and the quality of lives of our lives. But I don't know, man, it's just something that doesn't sit right with me when, you know, you're putting the animals, and maybe if I got to a point in my life and they asked me and said, Earl, do you want to prolong your life? And we're going to put a pig's heart in you. Somehow, some way, at my age of 67, man, I've got to, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know if that would be.
It's wild, too, because exactly what Ross just said, you know, these limited healthcare resources, this almost plays into the counterpoint to that yes, these resources are limited. Donated hearts are hard to come by. So here's some technology that's being developed and produced to sort of shortcut that, to give more people right. access to these life-saving procedures. And man, it is tough.
No, I understand why. So, hey, Ross, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Hey, let me go to this,
yeah.
Evan. So the Speaker of the House is discouraging her colleagues to hold any animosity towards Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. I don't see it that way.
Man, she is on a roll. By the way, we're talking about Nancy Pelosi here. She is just on a roll, knocking herself down a couple pegs. First the whole insider trading thing. No, that's a protected right of our senators. And now this.
We are a giant. This is Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Yesterday. We are a giant kaleidoscope, Pelosi explained. Democrats and Republicans, you never know who is going to be in the design of the next bill. So we have to be respectful. But I've discouraged people from making comments about them. Nancy Pelosi added, I don't think there's any upside in Democrats criticizing Democrats. Say what?
Man. Ooh, that's so, number three.
So Nancy Pelosi, it's time for you to go.
It really is. No, it really
Because if you, the impact that the turnout of that vote, the amount of people whose lives are impacted by that decision, by Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, is just countless. And the pain is immeasurable.
Their feelings are easily hurt, Earl. We gotta be nice. You know, we can't be critical. We can't be critical of our reps.
I'm saying,
you
don't listen, Nancy Pelosi. This is what I mean by politics.
Yeah.
Okay. You now want to be able to say, oh, those are our colleagues. Come on back in out of the cold. No. What they did is unforgivable. And now here it is a day later, and you're ready to forgive and move on and let bygones be bygones. No. No, you don't let that happen. You don't invite them back to the table. They should be ostracized. I don't get it. Evan, who do we have on the line?
We've got Mark from Sussex.
Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Not much, Earl. How you doing?
All right, so what do you say?
Well, I couldn't disagree more, because she's getting death threats. She's getting all kinds of assault threats.
You mean Kyrsten Sinema?
Yeah, this is coming from other Democrats or prior Democrats. So, again, I thought the Democrats were all about, protecting their own this and that, and now, just because she doesn't agree with the situation, because her voters agree with her.
Who's threatening violence?
Let him go. Go ahead, Mark.
Talking about assault on this female.
Hey, Mark, go ahead.
And that's all I have to say, Earl. I mean,
let me, don't hang up. Well, number one, if you think that it's only Democrats. You said Democrats, and you distinctly pointed out Democrats.
You're talking about Sinema and Manchin. So I brought up the death threats, and you're all for, that Nancy Pelosi shouldn't try to calm the waters.
So let me say this to you, man. And the reason that I, wanted to come back at you right away is because you said I thought Democrats were all about, as if Democrats have to all agree on everything. Republicans are the ones that I've noticed who just about agree on almost everything. None of them, not one of them, had the courage to look at either one of those bills and say, hey, this sounds like a pretty decent idea that will benefit some of my constituents.
Speaker Pelosi's statement.
Hold on, Evan. One of them had the courage. One Republican had the courage to say, hey, this could be beneficial to constituents in my community. No, they all stuck together. And now Republicans want to celebrate the fact that two Democrats chose to turn and show independence. Where's the independence when it comes to the Republicans?
So Ms. Pelosi's statement
I want an answer to that. Where's the independence when it comes to the Republicans?
Well, first of all, you didn't answer my question because that's
Listen. What do you mean I didn't answer? What question do you have? Apparently you don't know how radio works. The person who calls in does not ask the host to answer his question. That, you know, and I, you know, so you and I have been there before. This is not for you to call the Earl Ingram show and get me to answer your question. I'm saying to you again, you know, you should answer the question that I'm posing to you. And because this is the Earl Ingram show. You know, it's easy to call and point the finger and say, well, Democrats this and Democrats that. But when we turn the tables and turn the tide and ask you the very question that you are and thing that you are blaming the Democrats for is exactly what the Republicans have done and are doing. But you don't want to answer that. Thank you for the call. Evan, who do we have up next?
We got CJ from Stoughton.
Hey, CJ, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I got to agree with the last caller.
I'm sure you do.
Thank God for destroying our democracy.
What democracy? Where is there inner working between the Democrats and the Republicans?
What do you mean, when is there working? That's the design of the Senate, and that's the reason the filibuster is there. And thank God for two Democrats had the courage to save our democracy.
Hey, CJ, I will say the exact same thing to you. Where are the Republicans with courage? They vote along party lines, as they did all of this. So where's the courage on the part of Republicans? Are you telling me not one Republican senator thought that there was anything at all that made sense, or they all have to vote in a block? Where's the courage on that side of it, CJ?
Well, that pretty much what happened with the Build Back Better and the infrastructure plan. It's what happened with Obamacare, which Obamacare doesn't exist anymore because the Supreme Court took that away.
Who controls the Supreme Court? Republicans.
And look who they sided with. Are you going to criticize them for siding with investigating the Trump? Were they so bad that they want those documents? So
they ought to, there's no comparison between the two conversations, because what they're looking for with what happened with Donald Trump and the attack on the Capitol was an attack on his nation. That's what it was. Democrat or Republican, it was an attack on the nation. So anybody who thinks that there is a comparison between January 6th and what we're talking about now, CJ, I'm sorry, you know, you missed the mark. Thank you very much for the call. Evan, we'll come back after the break. But man, there is no rational dialogue or conversation with people who only see things through one lens.
Foggy lenses at that.
Yeah, and so Republicans can say, oh, thank God there were two Democrats who broke ranks. Pat them on the back and say, oh, great job, those Democrats. And those two.
It's embarrassing that we have to say this, but we condemn threats and acts of violence. Pelosi was speaking specifically to Democratic colleagues who are criticizing Mr. Manchin and Ms. Sinema. It had no Democratic colleagues, senators, House members that I can find have threatened either of them. That isn't happening.
Well, again, they missed the mark on what the conversation is about. And CJ or the other gentleman cannot give me an answer as to when I ask them, where are the Republicans who are going to stand up and separate themselves from the ranks?
That's a good point.
They're not going to do it, and they haven't done it. So the 50 of them said yay. You know, not one willing to change ranks. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Oh, we should congratulate Sinema and Manchin. Yeah, you got your way. We'll be right back.